been rejected, deceived, and neglected by another girl. Now you're locked in your room, inhaling toxic fumes, cause you're thinking about her. It's been a month and a half, and you're still feeling sad when you saw her at a dance. She was kissing and hugging, playing and loving with her new boyfriend. I know she broke your heart, and it's hard to be hurt and pretend like you don't care. Well, that's what you get when you date that girl named Blair.
Welcome back to Dirty Two Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, Louis Muniker. Well, Akiva, you know he broke my heart, and it's hard to be hard and pretend I don't care, but that's what I get for trusting a kicker named Blair. Trump hasn't even been president-elect for a week yet, and already a white blue-collar worker in a purple state has lost his job. Blair Walsh is unemployed.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he... What, you know what's a good campaign strategy for next time? Make, like, very state-specific to, like, swing state promises. Like, go to Minnesota and be like, I promise if I'm elected president, I'm going to, like, pull the Vikings' hand until they like, cut Blair Walsh. And then you go to, like, Ohio, and you be like, you know, I'm going to make sure the Browns, like, make the Browns great again.
And you they did do that in Washington. You know, the Republicans had these ads saying that Hillary wanted to change the name of the Washington football team.
Yeah, but that's what I would do. I would, like, promise to make the sports teams good. Or, like, the opposite. You know, if you're in Massachusetts, like, I'm going to, like, you know, make sure the Yankees get busted doing, like, crazy things and lose all their draft picks and, you know, and get their best players suspended and maybe, like, take out Gary Sanchez's legs, stuff like that.
All right. All right. So everything in the world is terrible, including the fact that your team is the most unwatchable, ugly team in the universe, and my team's on a 4-game losing streak.
I mean, it's such an insult to the Rams to say the Jets are the most unwatchable team when the Rams are probably less watchable, although maybe now that, you know, Goff has been announced a starter in the last hour or two, maybe that will change. At least, like, the next game is much must watch, right? Goff is, like, one of the more interesting... Yeah, because we want to see Goff is going up against a very good defense with a really good front seven. Goff might, like, go, like, 4 for 50 this week.
Well, Pachesky in the Deadspin article said, I'm excited to see how this goes. Excited enough to actually watch an entire Rams game by choice? But for Akiva, the answer is yes, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are off, right? So I could maybe focus on the Rams-Dolphins next week.
Rams-Dolphins is, so I actually, you know, rank the games. Because I like to...
Don't hate on the Dolphins. The Dolphins are a real playoff contender right now.
No, they're not. They're not a playoff contender.
Oh, yeah, they are. The Dolphins are good.
They're two games behind all three teams in the AFC West.
Yeah, but one of those teams is going to collapse.
Okay, the Dolphins are going to have to go 5-1 and 5-2 and hope for one of those teams to collapse. It's possible, but I find it highly unlikely. But we'll get to that. Today we're going to rank quarterbacks. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did coaches last week and power rankings for the teams 2 weeks ago. So this is the third. I don't think there's anything else we could rank. So next week we'll probably just go to a regular. Send us in for next week. Send us in game rankings. We'll use somebody's game rankings like we've been doing at the beginning of the season.
Sure. And by the way, we haven't asked this in a while, but people, give us an iTunes review.
We haven't gotten them in a long time.
Yeah. Well, actually, I haven't checked, but I don't.
No, we haven't. I checked like a week ago. We haven't gotten any.
Okay. Yeah, so we got to ask. All right, so our quarterback rankings, I guess we got to put Jared Goff in here. But, when we did this, we did it as Case Keenum is the starter for the Rams. I did Ryan Fitzpatrick for the Jets. I think you did Bryce Petty. Oh, no, you did Ryan Fitzpatrick as well. But I did Cody Kessler for the Browns. You did Josh McCown. Have the Browns announced who's starting this week against Pittsburgh?
Have the Browns announced who's starting? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. Well, we don't care, because either way, that's...
Do the Browns even make announcements? Like, don't you need, like, a reporter to come for a press conference to happen?
Yeah. All right, so let's start right at the bottom. Dead last...
Well, no, so here's the thing. I ranked the quarterbacks that have a body of work, which makes sense, because there's no way for you to rank Bryce Petty and Cody Kessler.
Well, Cody Kessler...
So I did the smart thing, and you did the dumb thing.
No.
As per usual.
Well, no, we each ranked whoever the starter is right now. We just had a disagreement. Cody Kessler has played more than Josh McCown this year, so I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Cody Kessler, we haven't seen much of Cody Kessler. Plus, it's not like
as much as him.
There's no reason to even talk about him because the Browns are going to have the number one pick. They're going to pick a quarterback. Robert Griffin's probably coming back in a few weeks, and he's going to start. So there's nothing really to talk about. Right, no, well, Griffin's anyway, starting. Griffin's coming back.
Yeah, so Cody Kessler has been pretty good statistically, for whatever that's worth.
He's literally worth nothing.
He's 22nd in the Chester quarterback rankings with an 80, and he's 23rd in the ESPN's QBR. So he's, you know, he's mediocre in both those numbers. But I have him 31 anyways, and you have Josh McCown 32. Either way, our average ranking, it doesn't get any worse than the Browns. And you're right, the Browns will have somebody new next year.
Yeah.
So let's go right up next.
What happens if Griffin comes back the last 3 weeks of the season and is absolutely lights out?
Lights out?
Yeah.
Then I guess the Browns don't draft a quarterback in the first round? I don't know.
And then he comes back next year and gets hurt in week one.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I don't know. Let's stop talking about the Browns. They're 0-10. They're depressing.
All right, so but 31 is a guy who's not even a quarterback anymore.
Yeah, so we tied at 30th. We had Case Keenum, who I ranked dead last, and it, the numbers are also pretty unfavorable. He's 29th in Chester QBR. He's 31st in QBR, and he's just lost his job to Jared Goff. Now, we kept saying that Jeff Fisher was never going to make that move because that was the one thing he had in his back pocket as an excuse why he shouldn't get fired.
Yeah, because if Goff is bad, I think he definitely gets fired. The only thing is, I'm not sure if he's ever getting fired because the word on the street is that Kroenke, the owner, really doesn't care about the team's success for these next couple of years till they move into the new stadium.
Yeah, they're making money regardless of their performance.
So I he seems to really like Jeff Fisher. We underestimate how big of a deal it was, you know, if you watch Hard Knocks, like the move across the country is a little bit of like an expansion team to them, you know, even though the roster is the exact same. So I do think he gets like the expansion bump where like the expansion coaches usually get 3-4 years. So I do think he almost definitely will get another year. To be fair, as bad as Jeff Fisher's been, he has an abhorrent team and he has them at 500.
First of all, they're not a port. They have an elite defense with the best player in the game defensively.
I mean, they have elite front seven. I don't know if they have an elite secondary.
Well, look, they beat your Jets 9-6. They won a game earlier this year 6-0. So their defense is good enough to get them multiple wins without scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, but now they're on another offensive coordinator who still can't get them to move the ball. Like, there's just no talent on offense other than Gurley.
Yeah, well, fortunately for Fisher, I think it's late enough in the season that even if Goff were to struggle, Fisher wouldn't get... And you said there's other reasons he won't be fired. So yeah,
in a normal scenario, this would be it. Like, if Goff is bad, then he gets fired. But I think he might not be fireable right now.
Yeah, now tied at 30th in our quarterback rankings, and we both had him exactly at 30, is Brock Osweiler. Now, this is a disaster because this is a guy who they spent a fortune on. Last year, they had, you know, decent production, at least in the regular season, from Brian Hoyer. They brought in Osweiler. They gave him big money. He's 30th in Chester QBR. He's 28th in QBR. He's a disaster. DeAndre Hopkins, who is, you know, one of the best two or three receivers in football, has become completely irrelevant. Osweiler, I saw, has the lowest. He has, I think, 4.6 yards per attempt, which he has, like, the worst in like, 20 years in the NFL.
Yeah, that's insane. I've never even seen under 5 before.
He's so tall. I think, like, his average attempt is, like, shorter than, you know, his height.
Great joke. I think that...
Wait for it. We got drops now.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing about Osweiler, the reason I would have him above the Keenums of the world is... He has a little bit of upside. Like he's not going to get worse. He can only get better, I think.
Well, I mean, he can't get worse because again, he's like 30th right now.
Yeah, I'm saying like there's a chance that he develops into Ryan Tannehill.
We don't expect anything of the teams.
Could he become Ryan Tannehill next season? It's possible.
Well, what have we seen from him?
No, nothing. He could become a less accurate Ryan Tannehill. I take it back.
Yeah, it's a big problem for Houston. They have receivers. They have great pieces up and down their offense.
Yeah.
So, and yet he can't even get 100 yards in a game, so I don't know what they're going to do there. Number 29, and surprising that they're this high, is Ryan Fitzpatrick, or Bryce Petty, whatever. You know, Fitzpatrick, obviously the numbers do him no favors because of all the interceptions this year, but that's how bad Brock Osweiler is. I'd rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick than Brock.
Fitzpatrick will move the ball. I mean, he's got better, you know, at least at the start of the year, he had, you know, a really solid receiving core. There's nothing more to say about Fitzpatrick. He's really bad. I don't know how many tiers you separated the quarterbacks into, but I have about 5 or 6 tiers. I could really cut it to 5 easily. And I'd say 25 to 32 for us is like the, you know, you need to get a better quarterback next season tier.
Well,
like
I
the
agree,
25 to 32 is hopeless. That's what I'd say.
But you can't call it hopeless when the team won the Super Bowl last year with the 32 quarterback.
I understand, but that's such an anomaly.
Yeah, but if you have a great defense, look, we've seen. I mean, you know, we saw it.
If you have the, how about this? If you have the eighth best defense, then you know you can't even make the playoffs with 25 to 32.
Correct, that's correct. Unless it's like a terrible division where seven wins can win it, obviously. But yeah, generally speaking, that's correct. All right, so next on our list, we have two guys tied at 27th, really going in opposite directions. Colin Kaepernick, I have at 29. You have at 26. Trevor Siemian, I have at 26. You have at 29. Let's talk about Kaepernick first. You know,
I think I have him a little higher because your numbers probably don't factor in the fact that he could still run a little bit.
Well, no. The rankings I did are not based on the numbers. The rankings are just sort of my opinion. Because my numbers, which do take running into account, I have him 24th in Chester QBR, and he's actually 18th in regular QBR. So his numbers are actually pretty decent this year. The reason I have him this low is because, I mean, I've seen him play, and I just don't think – I think his ceiling is higher than the guys we've mentioned so far. But he's clearly not the guy that he was, you know, just 3 or 4 years ago. And the fact that he has Chip Kelly means that he's probably worse than his numbers. Because Chip Kelly gave, you know, Nick Foles and Sam Bradford, everybody has career years with Chip Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at this point, Kaepernick's just done.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to do next year. I'm on the record now. Chip Kelly's going to be in college by December, before the end of the NFL season. There's just no reason for him to come back because there's no... I mean, they could definitely get... They could get pick one or two... So maybe he wants to rebuild with that.
I think it would harm his reputation to leave in the middle of the season. Like we saw like Petrino do that to the Falcons.
Yeah, Petrino got four more jobs. Saban really hurt him. He makes more money than Belichick.
No, it's not about – but it's just like the perception. You know,
won't matter. You win in college, it doesn't matter. It's just like that's just it for you in the NFL.
I mean, in South Florida, Nick Saban's name is Mud. They hate him.
Who cares? Don't go to South Florida. Nobody should be in South Florida anyway.
Well, but maybe Chip Kelly doesn't want to have to avoid the whole Bay Area. I think I don't see any benefit for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't want a bunch of coders coming after me.
I'm just saying, there's no reason for him to leave before the season's over.
They could safe space him to death.
All right, so meanwhile, we have Trevor Siemian. You know, he looked better in the beginning of the season. I think he's really taken a step backwards at this point. He has a ton of weapons, so I'm not really, you know, his Chester quarterback ranking is 25th. His QBR is 22nd. He's just a rookie, so it's hard to judge too much yet.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to see a path to him becoming a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, it's a weird year. There's only three, you know, first year QBs really going. Wentz, Siemian, and Dak Prescott. So it actually was a pretty easy year to grade these guys. I don't know if you agreed, but we really have the book on almost everybody, especially you know from 25 on up. We have everyone's been around for years, other than the two rookies. Simeon's definitely improving a little bit. You know, he sat at a full year. There's no reason to think he won't get a little better. I just don't know if the tools are there for him to be anything other than a one-year placeholder. To me, the Broncos, probably the most aggressive franchise in the league. I think they'll try and get Romo for next season.
But I think Paxton Lynch is their plan. Now, if Romo's available, obviously you get Romo.
If Lynch was good, he'd be playing over Trevor Siemian.
I mean, he's a first-round pick.
I think they're going after Romo. No, he was a second-round pick, no? Or was it the end of the first round?
Something. I thought he was like 24th or something.
Yeah, to me, I think you get Romo. Because even if you like Lynch, you know, Lynch could sit on the bench for 2 years. How long is Romo lasting? But Romo gives you the chance to really be the best team, you know, one of the two elite teams in the AFC. You get Romo when he plays 14 games, you have a bye automatically if you're the Broncos.
Yeah. I mean, if Romo was on the Broncos, they'd be the overwhelming Super Bowl favorite right now, assuming that he was healthy.
I think that's what you do. Obviously, they can't go back to Cutler. There aren't a lot of options. I think the Jaguars could be very aggressive and they could give Romo, like they could literally trade for Romo and sign him to an extension. They have like $100 million in cap space. Or the Browns. I don't know why the Browns would do that.
Why would Romo want to go there?
Well, if they trade him, he doesn't have a lot of options.
He's under contract with the Cowboys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You'd have to trade him, but these teams have draft picks.
It'd have to be a trade because otherwise the
Browns have tons of draft picks to trade. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. We'll see.
Who's next? By the way, we didn't talk about Simmons got annihilated by Collinsworth yesterday on Twitter. You saw that, right?
Very uncalled for. But.
Yeah, but so Simmons just tweeted that Collinsworth's coming on the podcast later. So you figured they would.
And also Collinsworth deleted the tweet after an hour. So Simmons actually finishes ahead on that whole exchange. All right, so next on our list is the aforementioned Blake Bortles. We both have him at number 27. In my Chester QBR, he's 26th right now statistically. We've discussed Bortles a lot the last few weeks. He is what he is, which is terrible until garbage time, and then he'll get you a couple
touchdowns. It's so funny because he, you know, he's really good in fantasy football. Like, he's a legitimately good fantasy football quarterback, and I've never seen anything like it. Like, I don't know if there's a baseball equivalent. Like, what if a guy could steal, like, 300 bases, but, you know, literally could, you know, had no power, got
only,
zero.
Only when it's, you know, indifference, basically, because it's 11-2.
Basically. Like, I can't even think, or if a guy had, like, 70 homers, but 74 RBI and hit 140, nah, he would still be useful. Like, I don't know. There is no equivalent, but he is so bad at real
football. There's a lot of basketball equivalents. There's lots of guys. Sharif Abdul-Rahim is an example that comes to mind. There's lots of guys who put up big numbers for terrible teams.
No, right? But he's not putting up big numbers. He's, like, literally Mr. Garbage Time. He's the...
But it's a similar concept. He only puts up big numbers when the game doesn't matter anymore.
I'm trying... Who's, like, the NBA sixth man who was incredible at putting up big numbers when the game was over? Oh, Gatling. Chris Gatling was, like, amazing in Garbage Time.
All right, so Blake Bortles is the Chris Gatling.
Yeah, but when you watch a Jaguars game, like, you turn it on for a minute in the second quarter, and he looks like... How did anybody ever draft him? He can't even throw a ball.
Yeah.
He has like 10. He has like 10 gaffes a game. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they took him over Derek Carr and Teddy Bridgewater. So, well, but look, he had 40.
It was probably a good call to pick him over Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he could still walk. Where would Teddy rank for you if he was healthy?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say if he was healthy.
Assuming
like
natural slight progression from last season.
But that's not what anybody was expecting from him. In the preseason, his numbers were insane. In December of last year, his numbers were insane. I mean,
I shouldn't ask you. You had him being like the NFL.
No, we talked about last year in December. We talked about in the history of the NFL.
Well, he's Mr. December, but he's not good in September through November.
I think he had the second highest quarterback ranking in NFL history in the month of December after Russell Wilson. And he also was unbelievable in the preseason this year. So, look, I would say if he was what he was last year, he'd probably be about somewhere between 18, 19, 20. But the hope this year was that he was going to take a big jump, right? That he was going to be like 10 or 11. But all right. But back to the guys who are actually playing. Next on our list, number 25, we have Jay Cutler. Statistically, he's far and away the worst quarterback in the NFL this year. I mean, by leaps and bounds.
I mean, he has to be in this garbage. I have him in the bottom eight. You have him actually ahead of Joe Flacco, which is the dumbest take on the entire list.
Oh, we'll get to that.
But we have five big disagreements. I think that's the spoiler. We have really, there's only five quarterbacks we really disagree on. But Flacco's the biggest disagreement because you have an abominable take on Flacco. But yeah, Cutler is useless. I don't know if you gave him a change of scenery and gave him a good offensive line, he could bounce back to being like, you know, Tannehill level even, or Bradford level, or the guys ahead of him. But like, if you're the Jets, I mean, obviously he's better than Fitzpatrick. Yeah, Cutler's going to be on the Jets. It's going to be so bad.
Yeah,
he's not going to be able to handle New York media at all. I mean, he can come to New York, hang out with his best buddy Donald Trump.
Yeah. Is Cutler? I'm sure he is.
Yeah, he just came out and said that he's a big Trump guy.
Yeah, well, him and his wife are both real geniuses, so no surprise there. All right, on number 24 on our list, Ryan Tannehill. Now, Tannehill actually, my stats have liked him a little bit more, and he actually had a great game, especially in the second half against San Diego this week. But his numbers, you know, his traditional numbers, like going into the game, he had 9 touchdowns, 9 picks, which doesn't look very good. But the Chester QBR really liked him. And after this week, the Chester QBR likes him even more. He's up to 16th in Chester QBR, which means he's about average. He's 27th in QBR still, which is closer to where we have him. But you clearly would rather have Ryan Tannehill than any of the guys we've mentioned so far.
Yeah, and, you know, we're doing this for, like, this season, obviously. If we're, you know, discussing based on, you know, who you obviously, like, you'd rather have Tannehill over the next guy, Sam Bradford, going forward because he's much younger. He might not be much younger, but he's got many less miles on him.
Yeah, we're doing this based on right now.
He's not accurate enough to be in the Bradford range. And he has a game. He's like a bad version of Eli in that he has a game every month that it's like, oh, my God, how's he in the NFL?
Yeah. All right. So Sam Bradford is next, as you mentioned.
Now, not much to say about Sammy B. I don't know about you.
Well, here's the thing. His numbers are really, really good. You know, people were talking about him as an MVP when they were 5-0. And since then, he only has 2 turnovers the entire season. So he's protecting the ball. His completion percentage is very strong.
Yeah. He's the new Pennington. He can't throw deep.
No, he has a great deep ball.
Well, they haven't been connecting.
Teddy Bridgewater can't throw deep. That's one of the reasons that idiots were saying,
Well, you can't make the cross-racial comparison. Everybody knows that. I can't call it
No, the reason, the issue with the Vikings is that, you know, they've had five tackles. One, two, three, four, five tackles go on IR, plus a guard, plus their starting running back. So he's just, he has no time. He's getting killed, and he's not mobile. The thing is that he has no mobility whatsoever, whereas you have a Bridgewater or a Russell Wilson. Those are guys who could get some success behind a depleted offensive line because they can, you know, they can create space in the pocket with their legs. The problem is Bradford can't do that, and so he's getting murdered. But his stats are much, much higher. I mean, I think we have them both ranked too low probably. You know, last year he looked really good.
No, we definitely don't have him too low. There's nobody he's better than who's coming up.
Well, look, again, statistically, he's 14th in Chester QBR.
Okay, right? That's meaningless. Yeah.
Okay, he's 19th in ESPN's QBR.
Yeah.
My higher than the next few guys on our list.
My kid has a Play-Doh that he ranks the quarterbacks on. He's 17th there.
Okay, so look at traditional numbers. Traditional numbers. He's 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. His completion percentage is top 10 in the league. Like,
yeah. No, listen, that's good for 23rd. I mean, name a guy he's better than who we're going to talk about. Is he better than Alex Smith?
No, but you're insane on Alex Smith and have been for years.
Alex Smith is washed up.
He's better
this
than
point.
Carson Wentz. He's better than Joe Flacco. He's better than Eli Manning for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. By every single measurement.
You have to factor in that he's never healthy.
Well, but we're talking about right now, right? We're not.
What do you mean right now? Like literally this second?
Yeah. These rankings are right. Yes, we did rankings in the preseason. They were different. These rankings
are these
right
rankings
now,
on? Yeah,
10.
But the what you're saying makes no sense. Like we have to have some knowledge of like. Yeah, Bradford is injury prone, and the chances of him staying upright for the rest of the season are worse than Tyrod Taylor's, you know?
All things being equal, I suppose for the rest of the season, I could hear an argument for having Eli over Bradford because Eli, you know, has never missed a game in his career. Mm. But with the Vikings' current offense, who would I rather have? I'd rather have Bradford. And I bet you the Giants would rather have Bradford also because the Giants have an offensive line that I think could protect him. So
you think the Giants would rather have Sam Bradford than Eli Manning?
Well, they wouldn't make that trade because Eli's won 2 Super Bowls for them. But in terms of production and performance on the field, there's no question. Mm. Eli, you know, has tons of turnovers. Eli's inaccurate.
Mm.
You know, if we're talking about going forward as opposed to what they've done in the past. Anyways, all right, so let's move past
Bradford.
You're
insane.
Number 22, Carson Wentz.
Jury's still out on Wentz.
Started good, and it's gotten really bad. I mean, his QBR right now, he's 29th in the league among the starting quarterbacks. So he has a really, really, really weak numbers. My numbers like him a little bit more. I have him at 18th. But the problem is that a rookie quarterback should not be regressing within the season, right? I mean, they won a game yesterday, and this past week. And it was very impressive when it gets Atlanta. But then, again, that was their defense. Their defense, they've shut down good teams at home, whether it's Pittsburgh, Minnesota, who might not be good anymore, Atlanta. But Wentz has really struggled. He struggled in that Minnesota game. The high point for his season probably was that Pittsburgh game, right?
Listen, he's a rookie from North Dakota State, so who cares if he struggled?
Oh, overall, he's done better than expected, for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, all right. Okay, so next on our list, we have two guys tied at 20th. They each, I think, merit some serious discussion. So we'll start with Joe Flacco. So Joe Flacco, I don't understand why you like Joe Flacco. You have number 14. Here's the numbers. He's 28th. In Chester QBR, he's 26th.
Okay. Can you just stop saying Chester QBR? Because we know what your ranking is, and no one cares what the Chester QBR ranking is.
No, but those are two different numbers, because in my rankings, I have 25. I'm saying statistical ranking is different than
I'm sorry, I forgot you're legitimately insane. I apologize. Keep going.
Fine. So what numbers do you want to use? So his traditional quarterback ranking is even worse.
Mm.
Okay, his midseason QBR is, his QBR according to ESPN right now is 26th. Last year, he was worse than that also. He hasn't been a top, forget about top 15 or top 20. He's been a bottom 5 quarterback for 2 seasons in a row now. And watch their games. He has tons of weapons on offense.
Okay. You just said something insane. He has the worst weapons in the entire NFL on offense. They have no running back. They have no running back. Like, literally, they don't have a running back who could be owned on a fantasy team.
Terrence West. Superfan Robbie has been riding, and he's been very good this year.
Yeah, he stinks.
What do you mean he stinks? Look at his numbers. He's had great numbers all year.
Yeah.
And, by the way, don't forget, in the preseason, they were really high on Kenneth Dixon, the rookie, and then he got injured, and they're just bringing him back. But Terrence West has been very good. Dixon, they have a lot of hope for. And then they have tons of options, you know, the receivers. They have Steve Smith, who's still great at his advanced age. They have Mike Wallace, Kamari Aiken, Rashad Perriman. Those are a lot of weapons. Dennis Pitta.
Yeah, they have many third receivers. I agree. No ones or twos, but they have a lot of threes.
Okay, but Joe Flacco, I mean, they, what receivers did they have better in past years? They had Ankle Holden once about 5 years
so
ago.
So they have no tight end, no good running back, no receivers.
And their offensive line stinks.
Other than that, I don't know why he's not tearing up the league.
I mean, they have a great offensive line. Marshall Yanda is one of the best guards in the NFL. Stanley's been a good left tackle. I don't know what you're talking about. But forget about that. His numbers have been abysmal. So you're saying that you don't care about his numbers because you think he just has bad weapons.
Bad weapons. He's not as inaccurate as you're portraying it. He's, you know, he's completing 60% of his passes.
Yeah, and 60% is the floor in
62,
modern NFL.
62. Okay. The floor that we haven't had Jets haven't had a 62 in many years.
Since Pennington, probably. Yeah. Well, that's why the Jets were at the bottom of this ranking. Anyways, Joe Flacco is, again, much like Eli Manning, because he once won a Super Bowl. And the difference between them is Joe Flacco was legitimately elite in that playoff run. I mean, that four-game playoff run was one of the greatest we've ever seen. But I'm not talking about what he did in the playoffs 2 or 3 years ago. I'm talking about what he's done in the regular season this year and what he's done in the regular season last year. And he's been a very, very bad quarterback. He's been worse than Ryan Tannehill. He's been worse than Jay Cutler. Not this year, but last year he was. He's been worse than Sam Bradford, both last year and this year.
Yeah, if you switch the weapons, Tannehill would be the worst guy in the league, we would think. And Flacco would be, you know, riding the Dolphins to the playoffs.
I mean, I don't know. That's a hypothetical. But Flacco's been really bad 2 years in a row.
All right, let's move on.
He's never had a good regular season. He had one great four-game run in the playoffs a few years ago. All right, and then the next guy that is tied with, who we're also, I'm going to argue with you, is Tyrod Taylor. So Tyrod Taylor last year, statistically, was one of the best 6 or 7 quarterbacks in the NFL. He was a no-question Pro Bowler. I think his quarterback ranking was actually highest in the NFL. His numbers were really, really good, even though he did not have any weapons, at least down the field. You know, Sammy Watkins was injured the whole year. He did have a good running game, but we didn't really trust it, and we ranked him pretty low coming into this season. I see in my preseason rankings, I actually had Tyrod Taylor number 24. And all he's done is repeated it. His QBR right now is 7th in the league again. So all Tyrod Taylor does is put up elite numbers with no weapons, and yet we continue to disrespect him. We have him 20th. So, and I have him 18th. You have him actually 21st.
Well, I don't want to say no weapons because they have a running game and they have, you know, an elite offensive line. Probably the second best offensive line.
Okay, but they have nobody downfield. Who's he throwing to? Robert Woods? Charles Clay? I mean, his weapons are much worse than Flacco's.
Yeah, no.
Dramatically worse.
His weapons are bad. They have a lot of guys on that team that shouldn't be in the NFL, like at the back of the receiving position.
And yet, his numbers have been elite 2 years in a row. So why are we disrespecting him so much?
I mean, he has a lot of bad games.
But he doesn't. He had one bad game against the Jets, I think, that influenced
his decision. He's had a ton of bad games. I mean, opening day, he goes 15 for 22 for 111 yards. Week 3, he's 14 for 25 for 119 and a pick. Like, yeah, they were winning games in spite of him because their defense was making
plays.
But
his numbers on the season are elite. So if you're going to pick and choose his two bad games, then that just emphasizes how great he's been in the other games.
No, he has a lot of bad games.
Okay, but Akiva, cumulatively, on the season, statistically, he's the 7th best quarterback in the league so far this year.
He hasn't thrown for 300 yards once.
Okay, but he's also runs the ball, and as you said before, like you have to take that into account when you're talking about whether it's Wilson or whether it's Steve Young once upon a time, or whether it's Michael Vick or whether it's Kaepernick. Like you can't ignore the fact that he's a weapon, you know, with his legs.
Okay.
It's crazy to me that I don't think there's a team in the NFL.
The take on Tyrod Taylor is he hasn't played that many games ultimately. You know, he missed games last year. It's relatively early this season.
Well, but he's played as much as Marcus Mariota and Derek
understand.
Carr and Dak
I understand.
Prescott. And
I understand.
Look, I'm not disagreeing with you because I only have him 18th. I'm just wondering why.
This could be his ceiling. Listen, there's a lot of decent quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, but if this is his
ceiling. If you want to say, you ranked Carson Palmer ahead of him. If you wanted to say he's better than Carson Palmer, I'm not going to call you crazy.
And I'm asking why did I rank Carson Palmer ahead of him?
I don't know because you're a racist.
That's it. You got it. All right, okay, so that's enough with Tyrod Taylor. Number 19, Kirk Cousins. We both have 19 exactly.
The Redskins.
Kirk Cousins' numbers actually are a little bit better than this. I'm surprised. His numbers have him as like the 10th or 11th best quarterback in the league.
Yeah. These are my fantasy QBs, Cousins and Taylor, and they're doing fine.
Yeah, Cousins started the season slow. He's gotten better in the last couple of weeks. You know, obviously I saw every play of his game this past week against the Vikings. He looked great for a quarter, then he disappeared for two quarters. Then, you know, he led them on a game-winning field goal drive. I don't know. It's hard to have an opinion about Kirk Cousins because he was so historically terrible until last year, and then he was historically incredible, and now he's been above average. But I don't really have a lot of opinions about Cousins yet. I want to see a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. You were so down on him going into the year. Obviously, he's won you over a little bit, but with the guys who've only had two or three seasons of work, Cousins obviously a lot more than, you know, the Taylors and the Mariotas, but a little bit more, and we'll, you know, our opinions on the Tyrod Taylor and the Kirk Cousins of the world will be, you know, the same way, locked in the same way that our opinion of the next guy is about as locked in as it could get.
All right, so the next guy, this is Alex Smith. You have always, in the 2 years we've been doing this podcast, disrespected the Chiefs, Andy Reid, and Alex Smith. And you've sort of acknowledged that you were wrong on the first two, but you seem to be doubling down on Alex Smith. Now, Alex Smith is in the middle of the worst season of his career right now. But that means that he's only the 17th best quarterback this year. So he's been about average. Whereas actually, usually, he ends up being about the 11th or 12th best quarterback. He's just extraordinarily unsexy and quiet the way he does it. You know, obviously they had the year where they didn't have a single touchdown to a receiver. But it's a little misleading because, you know, he had a lot to his tight end, Kelsey, and to his running backs. Alex Smith has, you know, his ceiling is lower than, you know,
anybody's.
The guys were to
list. Well, here's the he's in his 12th season, Chester.
Yeah, but his floor is so high. That's the thing. Alex Smith is.
I mean, his floor is going a whole season without throwing a touchdown to a receiver. That's his floor. That's not even that high.
Or an interception. The thing is, Alex Smith is not going to lose you a game, and he's shown the ability to win you games. You know, he had that incredible game, that playoff game where he had the 45 points.
If he didn't have that one game, you would have him like 23rd right now.
No, he had the game in San Francisco against the Giants.
Yeah.
Or, against the Saints. Or sure. I think those two games that year in the playoffs.
Sure, 7 years ago.
Had multiple 350-yard games.
Yeah, he's had two incredible games in the playoffs, but none of them were recent.
Well, but last year he also had a good playoff game.
His yards per attempt has gone down. I mean,
this year he struggled a little bit. Now, part of it, he was injured, you know.
Is he was mobile. So he was able to, you know, very quietly, he was, you know, the sneaky, fast guy that was, you know, he almost ran for 500 yards last year. He stopped running. He's done. That's it. He's 32 years old. He isn't running at all this year. He's never going to run again. So it took away part of his game. And he always, you know, he misses time. He's played 16 games three times in his whole career, and this is his 12th season.
Okay, but we're not talking about drafting a guy, you know, to start your franchise with, are we?
No, but you have to factor in something other than how has he done so far. You're like a robot. I may as well do this with soon you're going to be able to podcast with robots. It's going to be good.
Well, but I'm not a robot because, again, that's why I wanted to compare my actual ranking against my statistical ranking.
All right. Why don't you say something insane about number 17, Eli Manning?
There's nothing insane about Eli Manning. He's a turnover machine.
You're the most down on Eli of anybody on earth.
That's simply not true. ESPN right now ranks him as the 21st quarterback, and I rank him as the 21st quarterback. So I am literally 100% the exact same position as ESPN.
ESPN ranks quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Why do people need us? They could just go to ESPN's ranks, guys. Forget it. Podcast over.
All right, well, he's number 21 according to them. He's number 21 according to me.
I'm in 15, but so here's we're talking about tiers. So I said tier 25 to 32, that's Cutler through the bottom, is tier 5. Then Bradford and Tannehill are their own tier at 24 and 23, which is have no upside, but are better than, like, you
First
could win
of all, a, you were the one who last year said Tannehill was a top 10 quarterback in the preseason.
Yeah,
so
but he sucked
he has
since
no
then.
Upside.
He's never getting much better. So anyway, they're a tier for me. Then 22, which was Wentz, through Flacco and Taylor and Cousins and Smith, all the way up through, I'd say, 13 is tier 3. And then 12 to 2 is going to be tier 2. And then Tom Brady's is tier 1. He's his own tier.
Okay. So you're saying so
these guys are interchangeable. Eli and Smith and Cousins. Yes, exactly. Okay. He could be 13, he could be 22.
Fine. All right.
There's
so
little difference. By the way, right, in, like, nowadays, the difference between 4 and 22 is negligible.
I don't agree with that.
Like, Rodgers is 4 is Rodgers, who's like worse than Cousins than when Wentz, you know, every other game who's 20.
Yeah, well, we'll get to 4. All right. Okay. So next on our list, we have Jameis Winston at number 16. I have him at 17. You have him at 18. He's actually, you know, Marcus Mariota has leapfrogged him the last few weeks, which is a bit of a surprise when we saw the rookie season and what we saw at the beginning of this season. But he just, you know, he turns the ball over a lot. He makes bad decisions. I still think that he could be, you know, he has the potential to be a Brett Favre type quarterback, but we've seen more of the negative side of that than the positive side so far.
Yeah, he's like a better Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ooh.
No, I'm saying like he makes like dumb throws. They're not like Cowboy Favre throws. They're more like Fitzpatrick. His completion percentage for a second year is only 60%. It's a little troubling. He fumbles a lot. He throws too many interceptions. Yeah, throws too many interceptions. What I've seen from him so far is a good defense will destroy him. Arizona and Denver made him look like a little leaguer. But then when he plays a mediocre defense like Atlanta, he looks like the Jameis Winston that got picked first and that everyone thinks going to be a superstar. Well, yep. Everyone thought was going to be a superstar.
He has potential for that. All right.
Definitely.
Next on our list, we both have Carson Palmer at number 16 exactly.
Most boring guy in the whole league.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, so last year, obviously, he was an MVP candidate, just an elite quarterback, which is part of the reason Arizona looked like a Super Bowl contender. Mm. This year in the preseason, I had him at number 10, so I regressed him to the mean a little bit. Statistically, he's been awful. Statistically, he's been one of the worst six or seven quarterbacks in the league this year. But we think that he's somewhere in between that. He's not as bad as he's shown. He's not as good as he was last year. At 16, which means when you have him on a team that's absolutely stacked, which in theory the Cardinals are, you could win a Super Bowl with him. You could.
People are too down on the Cardinals. Cardinals are making the playoffs.
Well,
they're getting that sixth seed.
So only one team. So you think the Vikings are done?
Yeah, I think unless the Lions collapse. Yeah, so only one team's getting out of the North. Obviously, only one team is coming out of the South. And then I think the Giants and the Cowboys are going to be in the playoffs. And it's really between the Cardinals and the Eagles.
Washington could get
to 9-7. Washington could definitely be that sixth team. They're the third team that has a chance, but I have not
swayed from Arizona as a wild card team the entire season.
Yeah, and I think they're going to get that sixth seed. I mean, I'm not guaranteeing it. Like Philly and Washington have better records right now, but it's certainly in the offing. It's possible.
Well, the Arizona at Minnesota game this week. I think at the end of this podcast we'll quickly run through this week's games and just give previews. To me, the biggest two games of the week are Green Bay at Washington number one, Arizona at Minnesota number two.
Yeah, I'm shocked. You think the Vikings game is like the game of the week?
I don't. I said Green Bay and Washington is number one. But the reason is because those are three teams, four teams, all in the NFC, all within, a game and a half of 500, basically.
Yeah.
All of whom, the losers of those two games are going to be in a lot of trouble in terms of making the playoffs. Whereas the winners, if Washington wins, they get to 6-3.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard not to consider them a playoff team. Whereas, and then the Packers, of course, if Washington were to win, the Packers would drop to 4-6, would just be incredible. So,
Could you imagine the Packers losing 3 weeks in a row to Indy? Tennessee and Washington.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. So I do want to make some picks on those games, but we'll get to that in a second. So Carson Palmer, he was the worst quarterback in the playoffs last year other than Brian Hoyer. I mean, against the Packers, he was just awful. He was abysmal. And then the next week against Carolina, he's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So you could win a Super Bowl in theory with Carson Palmer, but Arizona's not
good. I think you could have last year. I think that day has maybe gone by.
All right, yeah. All right, next on our list, Dak Prescott. Again, how do you rank this guy? Statistically, he's a top four quarterback. He's an MVP candidate. But we both think that, you're grading on a curve because he has far and away the best offensive line, not just in football, but, possibly the best offensive line we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really good.
Certainly,
I mean,
the best offensive
line. The Niners'
90
offensive
Cowboys.
Lines were pretty. Niners and Cowboys in the 90s were both like.
Yeah, no, the Cowboys.
They just realized, offensive line's really important. We should sort of. That should be our main focus other than the quarterback. Yeah. Years before anybody else did, and those two teams just had like five top 20 offensive linemen in the league.
Yeah, so look, Dak Prescott, he's been great. He's clearly answered the Tony Romo question. It's his job, but it's hard to know because how do you grade him in a vacuum when he's in really the perfect system with, just an unbelievably, astoundingly good offensive line, a great running back, great receiver, and a bunch of other weapons. So look, Dak Prescott's good. We'll have to wait and see on him.
Yeah, Mariota.
Yeah, all right, so we have Mariota next. Big swings on Mariota in last year he was bad. This year he started out the season kind of slow. We were both saying Winston definitely was the better of those two, but he's looked really, really good the last few weeks.
Yeah, he's really turned it on. I'd have to be very encouraged. And now you have to talk about the Titans as that fourth seed maybe.
Well, so the funny thing is this: because the Bengals lost last night, I actually think that the winner, and because Houston won, Houston's now 6-3. I think it's quite likely that the AFC South winner could end up being the three seed because
I hear you. Yeah, that's possible.
Cincinnati might be 8-7-1 and Houston might be 9-7.
I think you're sleeping on Pittsburgh a little bit, but what you're saying is not insane.
Yeah. Well, Pittsburgh is under 500 right now. They do have two games against Cleveland to go. So, but yeah, but is Pittsburgh going to get a better than 9-7? Are they going to go better than 5-2 down the stretch?
I don't think so.
They have some tough games on their schedule. So, yeah. And Houston already has banked 6 wins. Houston's terrible, but they have 6 wins. By the way, Houston 6-3 at Oakland 7-2 in Mexico. A 6-3 and 7-2 team, but that's going to be a terrible game, right?
Yeah, it's not a game that excites me too much.
Yeah.
Houston is really boring. They're like they're the rich man's Rams and Jets. They're impossible to watch.
Yeah. Feel bad for Mexico. First Donald Trump, now this.
But speaking of the Raiders who are going to Mexico, Derek Carr, another guy who maybe it's 1 year too early to have like a firm take on him. He's at 12.
Yeah, so I think that the hype on Derek Carr has gotten a little bit too high. Like, okay, his fantasy numbers have been great, much like Blake Bortles' last year, but a part of that is because he's throwing the ball 50-plus times a game. You know, ESPN's QBR, they have him at 12th, which is exactly where you have him. I have him one spot higher at 11th. So I think we have him in about the right place.
Yeah, I think 12 is fine right now. I mean, Andy Dalton's 11, and as you've said, he was one of the best players in the NFL last year, maybe, you know, top three or whatever.
He was my MVP when he got injured.
But without Hugh Jackson last year, the offense, and for some reason the defense, so maybe it's not just Hugh Jackson, has totally fallen apart. We've been, since the day this podcast started, we've been talking about how Marvin Lewis should have been fired years ago. And I think it's finally going to happen. It's going to be a bloody, that Monday is going to be extra bloody. It's going to be delicious. We should do like a live show.
I still think that they're going to weasel their way to, I think they're going to win that division at 8-7-1. I really do.
And he's going to keep his job. He's going to keep his job for another year.
Well, actually, if they're 8-7-1, they'd have a home game against Kansas City or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they could win.
Yeah, there's no 5 seed that's going to be unbeatable for sure.
Well, it's going to be the two teams out of the AFC West.
Well, I'm saying none of those teams are unbeatable when you're playing them at home.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, but except for the fact that Marvin Lewis has literally never won a playoff game, and he said many of them at home. So
yeah. Number 10 is a guy who maybe could have been 9 if he had a better second half last week. I tried not to let the last couple weeks weigh me too much. I mean, we definitely moved Mariota up much more than he would have been a month ago. But, I mean, Philip Rivers threw 4 picks in the second half was so abysmal last week. What do you think about Rivers?
Yeah, and Rivers has really been bad. I mean, look, so last year, the first month of the year, he was like the MVP of the league in September. And then he got much, much worse after that. And he's basically repeated that this year also. He's getting older, and he's no longer an elite quarterback. I think that we might even have him a little bit too high at number 10, honestly.
How many nannies do you think Philip Rivers has with his 8 kids?
Well, okay, and to be fair, he's got a lot of nannies. He's got a lot of kids. He's also, you know, all his weapons get destroyed every year. This year, Keenan Allen and Danny Woodhead went out for the year basically right away. Antonio Gates has been on and off the field. So it's a little bit unfair to judge him. He's throwing to, you know, Tyrell Williams and Dontrell Inman, who none of us have ever heard of.
It's crazy. They, like, stock. They're like the poor version of the Steelers where, like, the Steelers find these 6-foot guys who can fly and you've never heard of. And they're like, oh, my God, that guy would start on my team. He's the 5th receiver for the Steelers. The Chargers have like the Vincent Jackson clones where they have these like skinny 6'5" guys who you've never heard of who are catching passes and then you never hear from again.
Yeah, and they look, yeah, they're guys who in the combine probably look like they're going to be phenomenal. But yeah, but they never really do anything.
But they're like, some of those guys, like that Williams guy is really tall. Or at least looks, he looks really tall at least.
Yeah. So probably a little bit too high on Philip Rivers. Next on our list is Matthew Stafford. Stafford, I'm looking at my list, other than Marcus Mariota and Carson Wentz, but we knew nothing about Carson Wentz obviously going into the season. Nobody has jumped as high from the preseason where I had them to where I have them now. I had them at 15. Now I have them up to number 9, Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just last season. It's since Cooter took over in the middle of last season. He's been like a top 10 QB. He's 27. It's very encouraging if I'm the Lions. Like, their defense is good enough where if you maybe, like, find, you know, the next Ezekiel Elliott, this team could be a Super Bowl contender next year.
But you want to talk about bad games. I mean, he's had atrocious games. The game against Tennessee was atrocious. The game against Houston was atrocious. The game against Minnesota, which actually won, was atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the one play, which he never should have been able to do, if not for
It's fair to call his weapons below average, right?
Well, but he had Calvin Johnson last year.
No, I'm talking about right now, this year.
I don't think that's true. Golden Tate is supposed to be a very good receiver and
He's an okay number two.
Marvin Jones, excuse me. Yeah,
he was the number 4 in Cincinnati for a bunch of years. I like Marvin Jones, but he never started for Cincinnati.
I don't know. Eric Ebron was the number 10 pick in the draft as a tight end.
Yeah, and has never paid off.
Well, so is that his fault or is that his quarterback?
By the way, every single tight end who got picked in that draft is like out of the league already.
It's possible that
all those tight ends were just like stacked up against each other. Like, oh my gosh, there were so many tight ends picked in those first two rounds and they're all like completely done and out of the league. So maybe Ebron is one of those guys.
Yeah, I don't think you can say that he doesn't have good weapons. I mean, obviously,
below average.
His running backs have all been injured repeatedly. But,
yeah.
All right. So the next guy on our list is another guy we had to disagree about, Cam Newton. Cam Newton obviously was the MVP of the league last year. 50 touchdowns with no weapons down the field. I mean, he turned Ted Ginn into a 10 touchdown guy.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been as good this year, obviously. You have him at 10th. I have him at number 3. I think what you said before is accurate. Like, outside the top two,
yeah,
it's really a mess.
Top one. And I'm not.
No. The top two. We'll get to that. That's okay.
But to me, if you want to say 3 to 11 is all the same, I say 2 to 11 is all the same. But this isn't a knock on Newton. It's just he completes 10 passes less out of every 100 passes than some of the guys ahead of him do. I just wish he was a little bit more accurate.
Well, first of all, he's throwing the ball way down the field, so it's mm-hmm. a little bit unfair to judge him. The same reason.
Well, maybe don't do that so much.
But look at yards per attempt. Don't look at completion percentage. And also, Cam Newton is a weapon with his legs, unlike any other running back. So, I mean, you have to take that into effect. You know, he clearly has the potential to be the best player in the NFL because he was last year. So he hasn't been that this year, but to have him all the way down to 10, I think is a little bit too low.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who's completing 58% of his passes and has a 10-7 touchdown to interception ratio.
You have him behind Andy Dalton. There is nobody in any front office, in any football team anywhere in the world, who would take Andy Dalton as their quarterback over Cam Newton.
No, you're probably right. All right. We could retroactively move him to 9.
All right. Okay. Well, but that would move him ahead of next guy on our list, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, obviously this year, he's looking sort of like Carson Palmer last year or Andy Dalton in the sense that he's always been an above-average quarterback. He's always been a good quarterback, but this year he's taken the leap. He's an MVP candidate. It's just, we have him at number 7 because we don't really believe all that much of the hype because we've seen him for years. He's good, but he's not, he's not in the Tom Brady category.
No, he's not in the Brady category. So accurate. How much is, if you gave him worse receivers, if he didn't have the Julio Jones, like video game style option where you could just throw the ball up and assume that he's going to catch it a couple times a game. I don't know if he would still be this high up, if he'd be closer to, a Stafford-Dalton range, but he was so bad last year that he became an afterthought. And now, to me, he's, can you win a Super Bowl with Matt Ryan? I think definitely.
Yeah, but I think you always could. Even last
year. By the way,
year,
does anybody have a worse agent or, PR team in the league? Like, he's been a solid quarterback now for so many years. Have you ever seen Matt Ryan in a commercial?
Well, part of it, I think, is because his team hasn't done anything. They made the NFC Championship game once against
Seattle. There are teams that don't do anything who there are defenders who are in more commercials than him. There's, tight ends who are. I feel like a good, a better, a better management team.
Which defenders? J.J. Watt, who's won Defense Player of the Year 3 times, or Richard Sherman, who's, won a Super Bowl and you've been, the highest profile interview in the game. So you're right a little bit. He's a little bit anonymous.
Yeah, so you can walk down the street in New York and no one would notice him.
Yeah, you got to have playoff success to be a quarterback and to get that Q rating.
I mean, he almost made that. He was, 1 point away from the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, that was it. That was more than 2 years ago now. All right, so next on our list is Andrew Luck. Pro Football Focus thinks he's really good this year. They think he's been a top 5 quarterback. You like to say it's 2 to 53. He's got no help around him. My Chester QBR, which you don't want me to bring up anymore, I have him at 15th. He's been very average. And last year, he was 29th. Last year, he was abysmal. I mean, he was Peyton Manning abysmal.
Yeah, but last year, he was, according to every metric, he was really bad last year.
Yeah. And so this year, Pro Football Focus loves him, but, you look at the more traditional numbers, and he's only been okay. So again, maybe part of it has to do with the fact that he doesn't have a lot of weapons, but, he does have, T.Y. Hilton, and he's got a lot of guys who, in theory, should be good receivers.
I mean, Gore's having a better year. I don't know even he's really doing with smoke and mirrors, because there's really not a lot on that team.
Well, but are we giving Andrew Luck too much credit that we have him this high?
No,
I had him
at
number
4
on my list.
Well, let me ask you a question now.
Yeah. To me, it was 1 and 2 and then a shrug. I had Cam Newton 3.
Because
Andrew Luck
everyone
4.
Knows now who the top 5 is in some order, and only one of them is even remotely, young. I think the other 4 are all over 30 years old.
Yeah.
If this was a redraft, like a keeper league redraft forever, where it wouldn't really make sense to pick Brady 1, probably, because he's, closing in on 40.
Of course.
Who's your first pick?
Okay, so going into last year, it was clearly Andrew Luck, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then by the end of last year, it was definitely Russell Wilson. And I think it's still Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think Wilson is probably the answer. I'd say Luck is probably two.
Well, actually, last year people would have said Cam Newton, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you put Newton there. How old is Newton?
I would guess he's 25.
Newton is 27.
Oh, wow. Okay, but fine.
Yeah, a little older than I thought. But yeah, yeah. No, I'd say Newton is right there with Luck at 2-3.
Those are the top three.
Yeah, those are the top three. I might put Ryan four. How old is Ryan?
No. Matt Ryan's already in his 30s.
Is he in his 30s?
Yeah. There's no way he's...
Yeah, he's 31, so I take it back. Yeah, so then I don't know. Maybe I'd go with Mariota four.
To me, it's those three, and then it's...
And then Jared Goff, obviously, five.
No, it's those three, and then you start looking at, you know, defensive pieces.
Oh, so you're saying you're not even paying a quarterback at that point.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You're going to take the injured, aging J.J. Watt?
Well, I don't know. There might, you know, maybe it's Aaron Donald. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know.
Can you pick all five Cowboys offensive linemen?
Yeah, you know, part of the problem is, you know, like, they're talking about, oh, well, you know, Ezekiel Elliott shouldn't be the MVP. The Cowboys offensive line should be the MVP. But that's the problem, because it's hard to separate pieces from an offensive line. But
sure, but,
five distinct
but Elliott can't be the MVP, because his rushing, he is great, but his, anybody would be 90% of him on, with the, like, his rushing yards, you know, Before he gets touched,
yeah,
it's better
than
anybody else in
the league.
And you know
what the evidence of this is? The evidence is this, that 2 years ago, DeMarco Murray did the same thing for Dallas. Yeah. And last year, when they had nobody, they were fourth in the league in rushing.
Yeah, I mean, McFadden could come in and still be a Pro Bowler. He wouldn't be as good as Elliott, but he would be good.
And that's why, even though Elliott is putting up these insane numbers, and fantasy football fans are going to be like, oh, what a good pick. It was still a terrible pick for the Cowboys, because, you know, Jay Ajayi went in the sixth round and has been, on a play-by-play basis, as good as Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, the thing about how much better they could be. They could be like 8-1 if they didn't pick Elliott.
Yeah, no, but think what they could have got, the number four overall pick, you know.
They could have picked Dak Prescott.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what they should have done. Okay. Yeah. It worked out for them, obviously.
All right, tie at number four.
All right, okay, fine. So at number four, we got a couple of guys who are arguably coasting on their name more than their performance. So Ben Roethlisberger has always been, as long as we've been alive, the most overrated quarterback in the game.
Oh, my God.
Even more so than Eli. He always turns the ball over too much. You know, in an average season, he'll have about...
What are you talking about? He went like 3 years without throwing a home interception.
Every single year, except for one, he has 12 to 13 interceptions at least, if not 14, 15, 16. He led the league in interceptions once.
Are we talking about Rodgers or Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger.
Oh, well, you said Rodgers. You said Aaron Rodgers.
No. Roethlisberger.
I thought you were just making up stuff. Like, you were insane.
No. Last year, Ben Roethlisberger was the 10th best quarterback in the NFL. Oh, this year, statistically, right now, he's the 9th best quarterback in the NFL. I gave him a little bit of benefit of doubt. I ranked him 8th. You have him at 2nd. Now, Steelers fans always love to overrate him. They actually legitimately think he's the best quarterback in football. There is no evidence of that. There is no number that you can possibly look at that can justify that. And they say, well, I don't care what the number is. Look what he does on the field. Okay, look what he does on the field. He turns the ball over way too much. He has better weapons than anybody in football by a massive margin.
To me, I'm putting him at 2 because his A game is clearly number 2.
But hold on, Akita. He has the best running back in football. He has the best wide receiver in football.
Yeah. Okay? And you know what? They win games when those guys were out.
When which guys were out?
I'm saying Bell misses games and Brown misses games.
Well, Brown hasn't missed any games.
Last year.
But Bell, yeah.
What are you doing? Give me that phone. Take it outside. Hello.
You talked before about, like, if you swap Flacco. If you swapped Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco, Flacco would have Roethlisberger's numbers, I say without a doubt. Without a doubt. And if you put Aaron Rodgers on Pittsburgh, who we have tied, we have Aaron Rodgers tied with Ben Roethlisberger. If you put Matt Ryan on Pittsburgh, come on.
All right.
Roethlisberger also rarely plays 16 games. He always gets injured.
Man, he plays hurt, though.
He comes back from those injuries earlier than expected. That's true, but he gets injured. He's on, you know, he's aging. It's just, to have him number 2 is crazy. We've seen his ceiling. And you know who has better ceilings? Cam Newton has a better ceiling. He had 50 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, we've seen his ceiling. It's winning multiple Super Bowls. Maybe he could win 2 more. Make you happy.
He won 2. His defense won 2 Super Bowls. It's absurd. Eli Manning also won 2 Super Bowls. Stop. Let's look at what he actually did. His individual.
Yeah, that was the defense made a great throw to Santonio Holmes in the corner, by the way.
I'm not saying he never made a good throw. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's a horrible quarterback. I have him number 8. But to put him number 2 ahead of, you know, anyway, don't get me started. Look, Pittsburgh loves, Terry Bradshaw also. The only reason Terry Bradshaw isn't the most overrated quarterback in NFL history is because of a little guy named Joe Namath. So Pittsburgh loves to decide that, you know, their team wins a Super Bowl, and that means their quarterback must be the greatest thing since sliced bread, but whatever.
All right, Rod, by the way, Rodgers tied for 4. You want to hear his interception totals the last 6 years?
Oh, Rodgers never turns the ball over.
6-8, 6-5, 8-7. Ludicrous.
Yeah. Well, now I understand. You thought I was talking about Rodgers.
Yeah, everyone did because you said Rodgers.
I said Roethlisberger, but we'll hear it in the table.
But every time we have this, you're wrong, though. his completion percentage was 68, 67, 66, 65, 60, and now 63. But even more troubling, yards per average completion is 9.25, 7.78, 8.75, 8.4. I should point out 9.25 is like ludicrous. But that was his 45 touchdown, 6 interception season. But the 8.43, then he fell to 6.68. Now he's down to 6.5. I mean, that's like Ryan Fitzpatrick territory.
Yeah, I mean, look, last year, let's be honest, last year Aaron Rodgers was an average quarterback. And this year he's been better than that, but he has not been an elite quarterback. I think the reason we still have him so high, I have him at 6 and you have him at 4, is because the individual plays that he pulls out of his butt, there's things he does that nobody else on earth can do. There's individual throws he makes on a game-to-game basis that, you know, your jaw's on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So for one game, it's difficult to say that there's a lot of guys you'd rather have, even if his numbers have not been there for now 2 full years in a row. Right?
Yeah.
All right, number 3 on our list, actually tied at number 2 because you hate number 2, is Drew Brees. Drew Brees, a little bit of a renaissance. He had dropped from sort of top 5 conversation to sort of 6 to 10 conversation in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
He was throwing a lot of interceptions. He was trying to do too much. He's cut down on the interceptions this year. You know, he has weapons all over the field, and he's still taking advantage of them. His numbers are just, you know, incredible. He's back to being a top 5 quarterback for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But in a playoff game, would you rather have Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers.
Yeah, agreed. I'd rather have Cam Newton. I'd rather have, well, I'd rather have Brees than Roethlisberger, but you'd obviously rather have Roethlisberger. So, all right, let's get to number 2, which is our last of our disagreements. Russell Wilson, Pro Football Focus, before the last week's game in New England, they had their midseason awards, and they said Russell Wilson deserved the MVP because he has the second-to-worst offensive line in football, only better than the Vikings, and he's just been incredible despite having no offensive line. Like last year, his fantasy stats, he took till the middle of the season to get going. But the last 2 weeks, he's had, you know, 300-plus yards and 3 touchdowns. He's starting to be mobile again. He just went into New England and beat Tom Brady. I'm not sure what more you want from him. He's won a Super Bowl already. He's been to another one and, you know, was a yard away. To me, Russell Wilson is clearly the second-best quarterback in the league, and there's a huge drop after everybody else. But you have him down at number 6. So why do you hate Russell Wilson?
I don't hate him. He's number 6 is a big compliment.
No, it's not, because you said 2 and 13 are all interchangeable.
Yeah, he could be number 2.
You think there's 10 quarterbacks that are just as good as Russell Wilson?
Not just as good, but, I mean, not when you consider upside and stuff.
Well, you think there's 5 that are better, though. You have him at 6. So why do you hate Russell Wilson?
I don't hate him. Russell Wilson's great. He's wonderful. He could easily be number 2. Brees and Ryan have been great this year. You want me to move Wilson up? I'm not going to do it, but you want me to.
All right, number 1 is Tom Brady. Obviously, although
nothing to say.
As we saw, Belichick can win with anybody, but you know, Brady's the guy he's done with for 15 years.
He's going to be my MVP this year.
Well,
unless they go 12-4, and then it's like he went 8-4. How could he be MVP? That's fair. But.
Yeah. Well, he was my MVP for sure before this past week. I'm not going to punish him for having no touchdowns because, you know, they ran the ball with LeGarrette Blount 3 times from the 1. Although, by the way, It is ironic that they didn't run it, that they decided to throw it, and that's how they lost when they had LeGarrette Blount already with 3 touchdowns in the game, right, given the way that the last Patriots-Seahawks game ended.
Yeah, you're probably the first person to make that point.
Yeah, I think I'm the first person to make that observation.
Pretty, right, you know.
Let's quickly make our picks for this.
By the way, you know what I think we should do?
Yeah.
Because I really wanted to do, like, a live podcast while the Vikings were in the playoffs.
No, I can't do it.
Listen. We have to, you know, we have to be about content here. How do we take it to the next level?
I mean, if you want to come to my house and watch the game and be responsible for the editing and everything, but I'm going to be too stressed to be worrying about stuff like, you know, recording.
You have to worry about the editing. You're just talking to a microphone.
I'm going to be too nervous for that. It's going to be a lot of cursing.
First of all, going to be. This is a hypothetical. They're not going to be in the playoffs unless there's an NIT for the NFL. They're not. Their season's ending in, you know, January 1st or 2nd or whatever it is. But I just thought it was a good idea, but maybe we should do some like immediately after big game type podcast instead of waiting until Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, there were so many great games obviously this past week. I would have liked to talk right after the Dallas Pittsburgh game, right after the Seattle New England game, right after the Denver New Orleans game.
By the way, the announcing I have, you know, I talked about. I wanted like my next like long article that maybe I would do would be like a deep dive into the NFL announcers and how bad they are. The thing is, I'd have to watch at least one or two telecasts of each one. So I have to get like the burst of not laziness that I only get like once or twice every 5 years. So like I had that for the Olympics thing. I'm not sure it's going to come back again in 2016, but I'd like to do that. Anyway, the point is the announcing was so bad this week. The Jets-Rams, who obviously had a terrible announcer to begin with, their announcers were abysmal. But then what was the other game that had insanely bad announcers? David Deal, who's like was on the Giants like last year, was so bad, but his play-by-play guy I'd never heard of and was atrocious. Can I tell you my biggest NFL announcing pet peeve now?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, I'm down by 7 late in the game, okay? It's 40 seconds left. I have one timeout, okay? I'm down by 7. I'm at midfield. I throw an interception. The announcer just says, I intercepted the ball. And they don't say the game is over. They don't say... The point is, if we're in kneel-down scenario, when that happens, when it's a running back, you know, a running back...
to say it right away and let us
running
know.
Back gets a first round. It's not for me. It's to know that you're not a moron.
Well, okay, so there's a few things here. First of all, you're expecting them to be able to do the math right away, which they may or may not be able to do.
Yeah, but someone should be in their ear saying, that's it, kneel down.
Yeah, but then the other thing is, why are they in a rush to say, hey, everybody turn off your TVs and change the channel?
It's intellectually dishonest. Don't do that. The good announcers do it. So it's not like Al Michaels is trying to sell the game less. He'll tell you that the game is over.
I would say, in general, late game is when announcers are at their worst. For the same reason, it's the reason head coaches are at their worst. There's a lot to think about, and I think it's probably easier for us on our couches.
Yeah, but they have like two or three spotters in their ear. I mean, it's not like they're alone.
Okay, but the coaches have a whole coaching staff also, and yet they screw up at the end of games all the time. Look, I ranted about the announcers screwing up for Fox at the end of the Vikings-Lion game a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. So this doesn't bother you. If it bothers you, hashtag
at me. No, I agree with you.
It bothers me, Akiva.
It does, but the mistakes that coaches make in the last minute are more egregious than the mistakes
of course, yeah, but what are we going to do?
By the way, my pet peeve, and I hate to say it because I'm sure he's a nice guy, but Sean McDonough is just too anonymous to me to be doing Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it's true. His voice just doesn't feel that it needs like another octave.
It sounds like I'm watching, you know, Maction on a Tuesday night or something.
It's true. He wasn't even the number one college football guy last year. He got overpromoted.
All right, let's make our picks this week. Last week we did not make picks on the podcast. I got some hate for that. All right, Pittsburgh at Cleveland, obviously we're both picking Pittsburgh.
Yep.
New England at San Francisco, obviously we're both picking New England.
Yep.
Chicago at the Giants, obviously we're both picking the Giants.
Yep.
Jacksonville at Detroit, we're both picking Detroit.
Yep.
Tampa at Kansas City, we're both picking Kansas City.
Yep. A lot of big spreads this week.
All right, okay, Miami at Los Angeles. Interesting game.
Miami.
Jared Goff's debut. Yeah, I would have picked L.A. with Keenum, but with Goff, it's just too hard. I'm going to say Miami as well. I agree with you. And, you know, 6-4, maybe they do have a shot to playoffs. Houston and Oakland, we already said Oakland's going to win that one in Mexico, right?
Oakland in Mexico, yeah. You can't beat the Raiders in Mexico. Everybody knows that.
Baltimore at Dallas.
Dallas.
Agreed. Buffalo at Cincy. This, by the way, is the same as those NFC games I was talking about.
Yeah,
before.
That's a good one. I accept Cincy's a little bit more. I guess they're not because of the division.
No, Cincy's in a better position, yeah, because eight wins can, you know, get them in the playoffs.
This is like, this is such a toss-up game. To me, I'll say Cincy, but this is like the biggest coin flip game of the whole year to me.
To me, I'm going to say Cincy is a lock. But
oh, you know what? I'm going to say the Bill, you know, Alex Wood is a really good center, and the Bills lost him. I think that's, sometimes we see teams, and I don't know their backup center situation, sometimes we see teams completely collapse without their center. So I'm going to pick the Bengals for sure.
All right. Yeah, I picked the Bengals to beat the Giants last night. That obviously did not work out for me, and it caused me a win in our pick 'em pool. Where, by the way, last week I was bragging about how the fact that nobody had missed their picks the entire year, and then for the first time we had two people miss their picks in week 10.
That's pretty good. In my, you know, this is for very little money. In the pick 6 pool that is for money, pick 7 this year, like a dozen people miss their picks every week, so I'm impressed.
No hard feelings, but guys, remember to make your picks, because even if you're out of it, and nobody really is out of it yet, but even if you're out of it, it's head-to-head, so if you put up a 0, you're giving an automatic win to a competitor. That's not fair.
Oh.
All right, Tennessee at Indianapolis. This is a game that we thought was going to be, you know, to lead that division, but Houston, even if they lose, they're still 6-4.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The loser of this game is probably out of the divisional race. This is a good game, though. You going to make a pick?
I'm thinking. This is really a tough one. The game's in Indy?
It's in Indy. We saw them go into Green Bay and win, then they had a bye, so I'm going to pick Indy. Although Tennessee just destroyed Green Bay also, so...
Yeah, I'm picking Indy.
All right. Here's a game where the loser season is over. The winner still has a shot, possibly, if Atlanta doesn't keep winning. That's New Orleans at Carolina.
Yeah, I'm picking Carolina. Yeah, must win for Carolina.
Yeah. Oh, well, but so was last week against Kansas City, and they found a way to lose. All right. Philly at Seattle. You know, DVOA still loves Philly, but there's just no way I can see Philly, you know, winning in Seattle. And again, Philly's been a much different team on the road than they've been at home. You picking the Eagles?
Picking the Eagles.
You're picking the Eagles to go into Seattle and win.
No, I'm picking Seattle. Sorry, I was responding to a message.
Yeah, I know. I tried to trick you, and it worked. All right, and then there's those two NFC games that I mentioned: Arizona at Minnesota. To pick them, the Vikings went from the best team in the league to the worst team in the league. So who knows what you're going to get from them?
Arizona.
All right, I'm a homer, so I'm picking the Vikings. And then Green Bay at Washington.
Washington. I'm going Washington.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Washington also. But that also part of that is, of course, what I want to see as a Vikings fan. I want to see the Packers to continue to lose. All right, so we made picks this week. Podcast is over an hour. Sorry about that. We stuck to sports, Akiva. We stuck to sports.
What, you want to talk politics?
Warning. Hot take approaching.
You know, I do want to talk about, like, so people's mourning periods have been very different. Like, I've noticed, like, certain people, like, completely sign off of social media already. It's been almost a week now, exactly, since the election ended. What do you think is, like, an appropriate mourning period?
So I left my Fantasy League WhatsApp group, and people keep asking me to come back. And to be honest, I don't see a reason. I said, look, I can still speak to you guys. I can email. I can G-chat. I left the WhatsApp group on election night because I just, you know, you would ask me a couple weeks ago facetiously, would I rather see the Vikings win a Super Bowl with Donald Trump as president or, you know, the reverse?
And just to be clear, even though if you've listened to this podcast, you know certainly who I supported. I would let Putin run this country to get the Jets a playoff game.
Yeah. So, you know, I sort of jokingly was more on your side, although, I mean, I didn't say that. I did say I'd rather take the Vikings lose because I was trying to sound principled.
I'd take it for, like, the Jets to have, like, a 7-0 lead. Not this season. Now I want them to lose. But, like, next season in the opener. Just, like, spot of 7 points. You could name whoever you want. You could name Steve Bannon president. I don't care.
Whatever. Look, if we're not sleeping to sports, if we're getting into politics, it's just, as a Jew in this country, I legitimately feel scared.
You're Jewish?
And it's not. I am Jewish, yeah. That's another surprise there.
Yeah.
That's another thing that you and I share. I do. I legitimately feel scared. And I think, obviously, if you're anybody other than a white Christian, there's a segment of this country who tells you that you don't belong and that's how they feel. And to be very clear, I'm not saying that everybody who voted for Trump feels that way.
But yeah.
But what is true is that every person who voted for Trump condoned that. Mm. Right. And so, you know,
this is the first time I'm hearing this. And this is so fresh a week after the election. Let me, you know, in like ultimately what's going to affect your life more, your particular life more. How annoyed are you about the traffic situation that's about to go down?
That is a disaster. Reportedly, his intent is to spend the weekends at home and then he will be in Washington during the week.
And also, people also think because his kid is in school that it's possible that the kid and Melania would stay in New York at least through the school year. And even, you know, even if he's not there, if they're there, that they, you know, it's the same situation.
I don't care where Melania and Barron live. That has no effect on
him. No, you're dumb. What I'm saying is that they still have the same level of Secret Service, so it'll still affect the traffic, is what I'm saying.
The Secret Service for family members is different than it is for the president.
I understand, but it's still going to be a traffic problem.
Either way, it's a disaster, correct. And the problem is that it's on Fifth Avenue. It's, you know, like a major thoroughfare in the city.
Well, Trump is a pretty thoughtful guy. I'm sure he'll just, like, move houses just to not be.
Yeah, so that is a problem. That does directly affect my life and all New Yorkers. But look, most people voted for Trump hate New Yorkers, and everybody in New York voted against Trump. So
that's, it is kind of a weird that he has this scenario situation where, you know, he got less votes in Manhattan. He got, like, six times more votes in Suffolk County, which has obviously significantly fewer people than Manhattan. Like, he got, I think, 58,000 votes in all of Manhattan or something insane like that.
Yeah, like, so the entire Manhattan. People were joking about the fact that not only was, you know, four people have won the presidency despite losing their home state. So that has happened before. But people were joking about the fact that nobody had ever lost their home state, their home city, their home precinct, down to literally their own voting booth. Even in Trump Tower, he lost. However, that's actually not true, because FDR, who obviously won four elections as our president, he lost Hyde Park, New York, his hometown, all four times as well.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
But that was complicated. So maybe, I think, like, didn't his family, like, have another family that hated each other? So they were, like, didn't the Delanos and
the TR side of the family, but
that's a little complicated.
Those people lived in Manhattan. They didn't live in Hyde Park.
This is also a very cold take, but I just want one person to come out as Trump's friend. You know what I mean?
But
we just had like 2 years.
Friends.
Yeah, it's so fascinating that he didn't like manufacture one friend.
Well, he doesn't have any friends. You know, judge that however you will. You know, that's not one of the 5,000 worst things about him. But you know, it is.
Do you think like you could like finagle into being Trump's best friend since he doesn't have any friends?
I mean, he has people who he works with. Right?
I feel like the best friend slot is available to you if you want it.
Look, he's 70 years old. He's not going to change. He's 70 years old. if somebody's gone through 70 years of life without a friend, they're not all of a sudden going to be a person who has friends. I appreciate you're saying that my personality is so gregarious that I could somehow find a way to befriend him.
He might feel bad for you. That you might become his first actual charity case. he'll send a picture of him and you hanging out with David Fahrenthold.
Yeah. All right. No, but we have to stick to sports because this is what people come for.
No, yeah, nobody can. And also, this is like we could have done this. We could have done like an election special after, but yeah, it's too late now. You would have been crying into the mic and ruined all the, your electronic equipment. Did you cry? You cried when Trump won, right?
No comment. Yes.
Yeah, I will say.
No, I mean, I honestly legitimately feel scared. As you know, we were about to buy a house, and I told my wife, we're not buying a house right now. We're going to rent for another couple of years.
Are you joking?
I don't want to sound hyperbolic, and I'm not comparing this. Let me be very clear. I am not comparing this to the Holocaust or to any, you know, or the expulsion from Spain or any of the other terrible things that happened to Jews through history. But I will say this. In every single one of those scenarios, there is a reason that the overwhelming majority of Jews in that situation did not leave. And it's because everybody else said to them, you're exaggerating, you're being ridiculous, that's not going to happen. Mm. And then they were wrong. And again, I'm not saying that anything like that.
Yeah, but why can't you buy a house? You could always just sell that house.
Because the reason I'd want to sell that house is because I think that the appeal of being an observant Jew would be significantly diminished. And the house I'm buying...
Yeah. That, by the way, that sounds really wrong when you say that. You sort of have to explain better.
Okay. Orthodox Jews don't walk, don't drive cars on the Sabbath or on holidays, so they have to live very close to their synagogue, which means that Orthodox Jews tend to live in clusters where everybody lives within, you know, a few blocks of the synagogue, so it's walking distance.
Yeah, no.
Which means you pay a premium for a house to be near a synagogue. The same house a mile away would cost 25% less.
It just sounded insane to, like, the three people who listen and don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, so what I'm just saying is the reason I don't want to buy a house right now is because if there's a chance, whether it's a 5% chance or a 1% chance, that Jews don't feel comfortable in this country within the next few years, and I think the chance is very low, but there is a chance such that I'd want to sell my house. The people that I'd want to sell my house to and not lose a significant value of it would be the same people who wouldn't want to buy it for the same reason I'm looking to sell it.
Right.
But it has directly affected my life in that way. It has.
Yeah, but I feel like buy the house anyway. If that happens, like, we have got bigger problems than you losing a quarter of the value of your house.
That's true, but I didn't want to add on to my problems.
You can't live in fear, you freaking, you know.
No, you're right. You know, you got to stand up and fight. But anyway, that's a topic for another day. All right, we got to end this now.